Our scripture lesson this morning is Psalm 37, verses 1 through 11. Do not fret because of the wicked. Do not be envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so you will live in the land and enjoy security. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will make your vindication shine like the light and the justice of your cause like the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret over those who prosper in their way, over those who carry out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. For the wicked shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. Yet a little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look diligently for their place, they will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant prosperity. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I have mentioned this more than once, but I used to be a news junkie. On days off, I would have the TV on all day long. It would be on a news channel, and I'd be hearing the news all day long. On work days, I would have news talk shows on the radio playing in the office and in the car. You know what happened? I stayed worked up. I stayed angry. Today, I watch enough news on the local channel, about an hour a day, and I look at the headlines on the homepage of the internet so that I know what's going on in the world, and that's it. I no longer dwell on it. Actually, I don't fret over the state of the world anymore. Sure, it's important. But beyond my vote and beyond my prayer, there's very little I can do about corruption in the world. Beyond my vote, beyond my prayer, there's very little I can do about the corruption in the public arena. There's very little I can do about corruption in the private sector. My getting worked up, my fretting over the unfairness of so many in high-level positions, continually getting away with everything, accomplished nothing. Why my attitude? I can only speak for John, and perhaps some of it will hit the rest of you. But I found for me that I could not focus on the wrongs of the world. I could not focus on the unfairness of life and focus on Jesus. I couldn't do both. Maybe you can. I can't. I can't be worked up over all of the foolishness in the world and focused on Jesus. I can't be worked up on all the unfairness of life and focus on Jesus. I'm not able to do that. I can't do both. When I can't focus on Jesus, I cannot become more like Jesus. When I'm focused on the wrong and the unfairness of life, I cannot focus on the hope of Jesus. When I cannot focus on the hope of Jesus, I cannot offer that hope to anyone else. There was a Christian speaker slash preacher who was on a whirlwind speaking schedule. One day he just got overwhelmed and he ran away for a while. He told his scheduler, which I'm glad I can't read what was in his scheduler's mind. He told his scheduler, "I don't care what you got to do. You take care of it. I'm gone for the afternoon." And he left. He ran away. He talks about several things he tried to do that day to try to get unwound, to try to get himself back together. But he says as he was walking aimlessly through this strange town, he came to a bridge and he watched the water as two rivers came together. He said he noticed that one river was crystal clear. The other river was muddy. And he noticed that as they came together, at first there was kind of a little bit of muddy water here and a little bit of clear water there. But as it went on down the river, it all became muddy. And he said that he concluded as he watched those rivers converge, that he could not let his mind get consumed with the stresses over which he was fretting and maintain a mind that was able to communicate God's message. How many times have we fretted over the mud of the unfairness of life? Because let's face it, two things I know my kids got tired of hearing when they were growing up. One, it is what it is. And two, life ain't fair. Get over it. How many times have we fretted over the unfairness of life? How many times have we fretted over things of life that are not right, but of which we have absolutely no control? I would contend that every time we have fretted over such things, our relationship with God was not as strong as it could have been. That every time we fretted over such things, our life with God was not as peaceful as it could have been. The New American Standard Version of the Bible records the psalmist urging in verse 37, verse 1, "Do not fret because of evildoers. Do not be envious toward evildoers." The origin of the word fret comes from an old English word meaning to devour, to eat, to gnaw into something. The dictionary defines fret as an irritated state of mind, annoyance, vexation, erosion, corrosion, gnawing. The Hebrew word used in the psalm means to warm up or blaze up. So one commentator on this passage took all of this and summed it up like this, quote, King David is saying something like this: "I've been young and now I'm old. I've seen many things, suffered many burdens, and learned many lessons. Based on a lifetime of experience, my advice is this: kill off the rats and put out the fires. Do not fret. It only causes harm." Have you ever allowed the unfairness of a situation just to eat at you? It's amazing to me how so many times our experiences in life coincide such with the Bible. Now hang in here with me a second and hear these analogies I'm about to make. I think they make sense. We noted that the word fret in the English language means to gnaw at something. The Hebrew word that is translated fret means to flame up. What happens when we dwell on an unfairness? Does it not eat away at you? Does it not just gnaw at you? And then what are you doing? Yeah, reaching for the antacids because you got heartburn. I don't think I'm being far-fetched. The psalmist urges us, do not fret because of evildoers. Do not be envious of evildoers. Now, my initial reaction as I read that is, I've never been envious of an evildoer. I've never desired to get ahead or to profit by any crooked means. Maybe I'm the only one in the room that's ever done this, but I must confess there have been times when I was having a pity party over an unfair situation, and I have said, what a lot of good doing the right thing has gotten me. I'm probably the only one in this room that's ever been there that's done it, that has said that, but I must confess that I have. David doesn't simply advise not to fret, but he tells us how. Trust in the Lord and do good. Cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him. In short, David says, don't focus on the mud. Focus on the Lord. For me, verses 7 and 8 just seem to pull it all together. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out evil schemes. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. As the Lord tends to do on occasion, as I was considering this passage for a possible sermon a few weeks ago, I was given an opportunity to practice what I might preach. It's so aggravating when God does that. But this time I'm blessed to say I think I passed. As I say, I had begun to contemplate this passage toward the end of a week. And the following Monday, while I was at the gym, I saw another United Methodist pastor, and he told me some conference news. It burned me up. I was mad. Now, I did not express it to the fellow pastor because I didn't know who else he may talk to. But Sally and I like to do two things. When we're going somewhere, when she goes to work, going up 15, if I've got a road trip, something I've got to do, we like to just call each other, I made it, I'm fine, see you later. And then if our schedules allow, we like to call at lunch, how's your day going, see you tonight. Well, Sally called me up to tell me she made it, and I was mad. I was so mad. I vented the couple of minutes she had. Then, of course, she had to go, and I finished my workout, and I came to the office. At lunch, Sally did her lunchtime call, and she said, are you feeling better? And I said, about what? I was serious. What am I supposed to be feeling better about? She says, you know, what you were talking to me about this morning, you know, you have to talk in code when you're in public. She said, you know, that thing you were talking about this morning. I said, oh, yeah, I'm fine. I actually forgot about that. Did my opinion of the issue change? No. I still don't like it. So what happened to make me not remember what I was so uptight about? I remembered Psalm 37, and I made a conscious decision. I could either fret, or I could focus on Jesus. I could fret, or I could focus on being a follower of Jesus Christ. I could fret, or I could focus on being a pastor in his church. I could swim in the muddy water of anger and fret, or I could swim in the clear water of Jesus' love, hope, and purpose. I chose to focus on Jesus and swim in the clear water. Thus, when Sally asked me if I felt better, and my response was about what, I was genuine. I forgot what I had been mad about. And I was completely honest in my forgetfulness. Yes, we're fully aware that life is full of unfairness. We're bombarded by reports of the innocent getting stomped on and the politicians and those with enough resources getting away with anything and everything. It often appears that the more one tries to do right, the worse they get treated and the farther behind they fall, while the crooked and the conniving are constantly getting ahead. Y'all were older than me, many of you. So what's new? What's new? The only difference is we publicize it more. Life has always been that way, and until Jesus comes back, life always will. Hence the psalmist who wrote this so many years ago. So where's the good news? I hope I've been presenting some of it. Where's the good news? If you read all of Psalm 37, David is saying that though it appears that evil always wins, though it appears that the evil person always comes out on top, whereas the righteous person, the one seeking to live according to God's will, seems to always come out second and never wins, God's got this. God's got this. God's not fooled. God is in control. And in God's time, God will set things right. So rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him, not getting worked up over the craziness, the chaos, and the unfairness of life. Focus on Jesus and not the mud, and we'll be amazed at how we can live in peace regardless. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, you know the life we live. It's not really anything new. You know the unfairness of life. You know how evil seems so many times to have an upper hand. But Lord, thank you for the psalmist reminding us that you've got this. You're in control. We don't have to fume. We don't have to fret. But we can rest in you. And even amidst the chaos and the craziness, we can be at peace. Because we rest in you. So Lord, as we go about the remainder of these days and we see the news and we hear all of the stuff, may we be realistic, but may we not fret. May we trust in you and find our peace. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. This morning our altar is open as always. If you feel led to come and pray for any reason, please come as we sing our hymn.